The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to today's broadcast. It is Monday, January 3rd. Everyone is returning back to quote-unquote normal, back to work, back to the routines, back from the holidays. New Year's is here. 2022 is upon us, and we want to welcome you to the broadcast. Again, if this is your first time joining us, whatever platform you're listening from, watching from, if you're able to comment in the section below, if there is an opportunity to do that, please comment in the below and let us know that you are new or your first time watching and where you guys are joining us from. Before we get after today's topic, I want to remind everybody, now we posted this on our main Facebook page, so I understand if you're watching by YouTube or Rumble or whatever social media alternative platforms that you may listen to, you may not be aware of this, but several years ago, because right around this time of the year, every year, many, many church leaders, pastors, churches, they all come together and they do a period of prayer and fasting. This is nothing new. Many of us do this every single year, and it's a time of corporate prayer and fasting where the body comes together all across the world, not just America, but across the world. And they come together in unity in prayer and fasting, believing God for breakthroughs, for healing, for deliverance, for repentance, for revival, awakening, and whatever your list is and whatever you need personally and corporately. And we're aware of that. And several years ago, we did an entire series on prayer and fasting. I believe it was like 6 videos. So I'm taking those videos and we're revising them, editing them, putting them together, and we're launching them out on our video platforms and on Spotify and Apple, and even here on our Facebook podcast as well. So be watching for those. They will be coming out periodically through the week, and they'll be a great blessing to you on top of what we're broadcasting today. So today we're not going to talk about prayer and fasting, but we just want to let you know that. So be watching and be looking out for that. So today I want to talk about an event that could be taking place that could fulfill what many prophets of the Bible have seen in the future. What in the world are we talking about today? Well, let's get after this and talk about this. Let me show you exactly what we're talking about. There is what's called the Earth's magnetic field. Some call it, even you'll hear a lot of them call this the magnetic north or the magnetic field. They alternate between these things. There was some interesting information that came out. Discover Magazine actually published an article, and there you see the title and the date. This was in August of last year. It said, when North goes south, is Earth's magnetic field flipping? Now, according to them, again, this is not my opinion. This is what these researchers have published. So don't get hung up on the years, because every time when we read this, people get in this entire argument about the Earth, the old Earth and the young Earth and how old the Earth is. And then you're going to get people on that's going to get mad at the illustrations we use because it's not a flat Earth illustration, and it's this illustration, and there's no such thing as space. So please try to refrain from the disputes, the argument, and the strife, and the discord over these matters. And let's just try to pay attention to what we're talking about today. According to this article, it's been, now again, approximately 780,000 years, and these are air quotations for you guys listening, since this has actually happened, or they said it has happened once before. And some scientists are saying that Earth's magnetic poles are long overdue for a switch. Now, what are we talking about? Something odd. I'm going to give you a little bit of an excerpt from this article. Again, this is Discover Magazine. You can find this article. It was published in August of last year. Something odd is happening to Earth's magnetic field. Over the last 200 years, it has been slowly weakening and shifting its magnetic north pole, where now the compass is pointing, not to be confused with the geographic north pole from the Canadian Arctic towards Siberia. In recent decades, however, that slow shift south has quickened. So there's, again, according to many scientists and researchers, it appears that there is a pole shift taking place. In recent decades, this slow shift has quickened, reaching speeds upwards of 30 miles per year. Quote, could we be on the brink of a geomagnetic reversal in which the magnetic north and south poles swap places? Now, if you remember, anybody remember the movie? What was it? I think the movie was called 2012, if I'm not mistaken. And that is kind of the hypothesis that took place there, is there was a pole shift, and it out of that spawned all these cataclysmic weather events and disasters such as floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and droughts and famines, and the list goes on. And again, the reason why I wanted to bring this up as a topic today, I think this is a good point of interest, because look at the crazy weather events that are happening right now. Listen, you guys, many of you guys know, I'm originally from the state of Kentucky. The state of Kentucky has seen the most crazy apocalyptic weather events in the history of their state just in the month of December and January. We had historic, well, I should say we, but the state of Kentucky had historic tornado outbreaks. This is the one that went 200 miles long and decimated what Mayfield, Kentucky, caused absolute catastrophic damage, caused a state of emergency. They were seeing on Christmas Day, it was like 74 degrees in Kentucky. Now, you guys in the South, in Alabama and Georgia and Louisiana, places like that, this is really not that extraordinary for us to get a little bit of these little heat waves where it's in the 70s in the month of December, January. But I'm telling you, up north, further north, I know Kentucky's considered South, but for us in the deep South, that's kind of a little bit northern of us. But even in places like Indiana, 70 degree weather, when it should be far less temperatures. And then you have, you know, it's like one day it's hunkered down because there's tornadoes coming and it's 70 degrees, 74 degrees. And the next day it's Arctic weather, snowfall. You've got crazy weather events where, like in Texas, where they actually caught on video, fish were falling out of the sky, which is from these water spouts that were generated that sucks up fish up into the atmosphere and carries them for so many miles and then just drops them. So it's not like it's an event that's never taken place, but it is nevertheless, it's still an odd or unusual event. Alaska right now, we have not posted this on our main website, but they are shattering records. There's just records are being broken. Heat records, snowfall records, tornado records. And again, now you won't find this in the Bible, at least in the most translations I have ever read. But maybe you're like me and growing up, for me, I didn't grow up in the Lord. I didn't get saved till I was about 23 years of age. But I remember even back when I was 23 years of age, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I remember old timers. How many of y'all remember this? If you're watching, respond to me on live feed here on Facebook. I want to see if anybody else remembers this or heard this. But being, as I matured in the church, and spent a lot of time in the church over the last 20 some odd years, I remember old timers And this is nothing against old age people. I'm just saying the older generation would always say this. They would say, one of the signs of the end or the signs of the coming of the Lord is when we will not be able to, ready, distinguish the seasons from one another. In other words, they will say, if you did not have a calendar in front of your face and you couldn't pinpoint to a specific month and a specific day or a specific season, if that wasn't here and you stepped out, could you try to guess what month it is? Now, guys, if we did this around the week of Christmas, depending on where you're from, most of the America, at least, if you stepped out and did that, most of you are going to say either March, April, May, late August. Well, I wouldn't even say late August, but maybe late September. It definitely did not feel like December or January. But how many, see, we're getting a lot of feedback. A lot of people's heard that. And I've always wondered, and it's probably a tradition that's passed on, but I remember we shared a specific translation, and you guys will remember me talking about this. We did a podcast on this, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, about there was one specific translation out there that actually said in Luke 21, and if I'd have thought about this, I would have pulled it up on the screen, but we did a podcast. You can go back and listen to that. And we were talking about the dark winter, and it talks about the winters would be extreme. And this would be one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, that winters before the coming of the Lord, that winters would be extreme winters, or they would be troublesome, or they would be distressful. And even in that last podcast, I talked about that. I said, if we truly are, if this has any credence or credibility to it, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord in the winter months of whatever year that is, 2021, 2022, you know, and the days in the years ahead, I believe like birth pangs, we're going to see troublesome things happen in the quote unquote winter months of the year. But now here we have, again, many scientists are warning about this polar reversal. Earth's magnetic field is generated by the convection of molten iron in the planet's core around 1,800 miles beneath our feet. I mean, again, I'm going to pull up just a little bit of a visual so you guys can kind of check out what we're saying here. This superheated liquid generates electric currents that in turn produce electromagnetic fields, while the process to drive pole reversal are comparatively less understood. Computer simulations of planetary dynamics show that the reversals arise spontaneously. This is supported by observation of the sun's magnetic field, which reverses approximately every 11 years. According to research by these experts, Earth's magnetic poles have reversed many times in history over the last, and again, don't get hung up on the numbers, guys. I'm only reading a report. Over the last 2.6 million years alone, the magnetic field switched at least 10 times. And because the most recent occurred a whopping 780,000 years ago, some scientists believe we are, quote, overdue for another such event. Now, here's the question, and I want to put this up here. Here's another article, and I'm going to read a little bit from this. This is from Business Insider. And again, this was published in March of last year. Quote, Earth's North magnetic pole is on the move. Here's what will happen, not if, but when our poles shift. Again, this is a headline from Insider, Business Insider, from again last year. Earth's North magnetic pole is on the move. Here's what will happen when our poles indeed shift.
What if south was north and north was south? Just like 780,000 years ago. The world didn't come to an end then. But how would it react now that we rely so heavily on technology? Would this electromagnetic disruption kill us all? Would solar radiation make the planet uninhabitable? This is What If, and here's what would happen if Earth's magnetic poles flipped overnight. Wait, didn't we say it already happened before? Earth's magnetic field has been around for at least 4.2 billion years. It acts as a giant shield to protect our planet from being burned by cosmic radiation. The field's north and south poles used to switch places every 200,000 to 300,000 years. But the current poles have been holding steady for the past 780 millennia. If the poles suddenly reversed, should we be ready for a geomagnetic apocalypse? Spoiler alert, humanity wouldn't die out. But the world as we know it would. Flipping the poles wouldn't make the geomagnetic field disappear, but it would strip away at least 10% of its current force. Everything on Earth would be exposed to higher levels of radiation. But wouldn't we still have the atmosphere to protect us? Well, we would. But with a weak magnetic field, flaming hot particles from the sun would slam into our ozone layer and puncture it. Extra ultraviolet radiation would damage human tissue and cause mutations. Skin cancer could become as common as the flu. Would our technology be in danger? Absolutely. Solar particles would rip through sensitive electronics of orbital satellites, damaging them heavily. For the U.S. economy alone, a single big solar storm would cost as much as $42 billion per day. Eventually, all communication systems would fail, as would the electrical grids that rely on satellite timing systems. These grids are all tightly connected to each other. If even one of them was critically damaged, the others would fail too. This would cause a domino run of blackouts around the world. Blackouts that could last for decades. Rapid magnetic pole reversal would throw us back 3 centuries in terms of electronics. You wouldn't be able to charge your phone or use your computer. Even your flush toilet would be useless. It would quickly get backed up since most sewer systems rely on electricity to move waste. On top of that, high UV exposure could make some parts of the planet uninhabitable. And what about animals? Would the polar flip affect them at all? Some of them for sure. Along with many other species, migratory birds, turtles, whales, bees, and salmon use magnetoreception to navigate. If north turned to south, they'd be quite confused. However, since many of these species were around for the last pole flip, it's possible they'd figure it out. The truth is, the power of our geomagnetic field has been getting weaker for the last 160 years. Are we moving towards a reversal? Scientists believe we could be less than 1,000 years away from one. The poles wouldn't flip overnight, but as they move, Earth's magnetic field could be compromised for centuries.
If this was to take place, then it would cause, watch, a shifting in the tectonic plates, which would produce massive earthquakes. You're talking about tsunamis. You're talking about volcanic eruptions. Wow. Now that's interesting to me. Now let's get into the scripture portion of this. When I read these kind of reports, I can't help but to remember scriptures such as this one, Revelation 16, 8, and 9. Again, this is an event that is future. It has not happened, but it is a future event. This event will transpire during the tribulation period, mentioned in the book of Revelation, described by John the Revelator, who saw this event, and he penned this event in the book of Revelation that we read. Here it is, Revelation 16, 8, 9. John said he saw a fourth angel pour out his bowl, and these are judgments, and he pours his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him, this angel, to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and did not give him glory. So again, we see an event in the future where something transpires with the sun. We see that something is an angel, actually has his hands directly involved in it, and it's a bold judgment that God brings upon the earth, and through this judgment, great heat and scorching heat will come upon men. And it'll be so bad, and men's hearts will be so hardened and so evil that even in the midst of this happening, they will shake their fist and blaspheme the name of God. Now, let me give you some more verses. Now, that Revelation 16 is here in this verse too, so we're going to skip over that, but I want to read Joel 2 and Revelation 6. Because again, when I read, when we talk about this pole reversal, I'm not saying that this is absolutely going to contribute to that. What I am saying is, again, when it comes to prophecy, guys, there is some things that we see through a glass darkly. We see partiality of it. We see partial interpretation of it. So what we do is we try to get the full picture. I can't say dogmatically 100% this is going to lead to the fulfillment of what these prophets saw. That's why I titled this, Could This Event Be What Fulfills What the Prophet Saw? I hope everybody understands that that's watching and listening. Now, Joel, the prophet Joel said that there is some things that's going to happen before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And listen to what he said. He said, I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. I believe that's volcanic eruptions. He said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Now, again, this could have a dual meaning. The sun turned into darkness and the moon into blood. This could be from solar eclipses. This could be from lunar eclipses, but this could also be from something that's transpiring on the earth, such as volcanic eruptions, where the ash is going up into the atmosphere and it's actually blotting out the sun, turning the sun into darkness, and the moon at night would make it blood red because of the fire and because of the ash. And again, it could be from a volcanic eruption. And I say that because it's in direct context. In Joel 2, he said, on the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke again. And then he goes right into the sun being turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And again, I told you, if there was a quote unquote polar reversal, this would absolutely trigger volcanic eruptions in the last days. So again, I'm not being dogmatic and saying this is absolutely it. This is what's going to be the trigger point, but it could be. Somebody say it could be. Revelation 6. We're going to skip Revelation 16, 8, 9, because we just read it. Revelation 6, 12, and 14. Again, John said, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, again, these are judgments, and behold, there was a great earthquake. So here we go, this megos, this great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. So there was an earthquake, and as a result of this earthquake, something caused the sun to become black as sackcloth of hair. Could it be a solar eclipse? Yes, absolutely. But again, could it be an earthquake triggering a volcanic eruption, which causes the sun to be darkened out? Again, that absolutely correlates with what Joel saw as well. But watch this. And the moon became like blood. So whatever this is going to affect the sun and the moon. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it was shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. So how many believes, listen, by just me reading this, the earth is going to be tremendously shaken. I would venture to say vehemently shaken. To the point where mountains are moved out of its place, islands are shifted, volcanoes are erupting, great earthquakes are taking place, the sun is being darkened out, the moon is being turned into blood, fire, pillars of smoke, the sky is receding like a scroll. All these things is taking place. But listen, Then you get down here. Here's what I want to show you here. Then you have in Matthew 24, consequently in context, where Jesus is giving us signs of the coming of the Lord, he said, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, why do I want to point that out? Because I want to tell you today, when we hear this, we immediately go back to the book of Genesis, which we should. The book of Genesis is one of the five books of the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's in the Torah. And we can go and read in the first 6, 11, 15 chapters of the book of Genesis, and it speaks of the days of Noah. Then you get to the book, and you get into the book of Genesis, chapter 19, you get into the days of Lot. So if you want to know how it was in the days of Noah, you go back and you read the days of Noah. But I want to tell you something. There is two books that are considered, and you guys have heard me talk about this. This is nothing new. There is two books mentioned in the Bible that are deemed to be historical Jewish books. One is called the Book of Jasher. The other is called the Books of Enoch, 1st and 2nd Enoch. By the way, Joshua 10:13 mentions the Book of Jasher. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So there it's mentioned. The book of Jasher is mentioned in 2 Samuel 1:18. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher. Again, the book of Jasher is referenced in the Old Testament of the Bible. Also, the writings of Enoch is mentioned in the New Testament of your Bible in the book of Jude. Jude quotes a prophecy from Enoch that is not found in the book of Genesis, but it is found in the writings of Enoch, 1 and 2 Enoch. Now you say, why are you saying this? Because if you want, come on, do we want to dig deeper, guys? If we want to get deeper on how it was in the days of Noah, especially in reference to the condition of the planet when the flood of Noah occurred, which, by the way, the flood of Noah represents judgment. So I want to know, maybe you don't want to know, maybe this doesn't intrigue you, but for all of us who are intrigued by this and we want to dig deeper into this and we want to know about this stuff, I got some interesting stuff I want to show you. So I want to pull this up. Before we get to it, though, I'm going to show you something from the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch. But even in the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, 19 through 20, how many's ever read this verse and you're like, what? Now, keep in mind what we've been talking about today. Look at, check out this verse, Isaiah chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. Quote, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. Quote, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. That is the prophet Isaiah giving you a apocalyptic description of a future event which describes the earth being broken, split open, shaking exceedingly, reeling like a drunkard, and because of the transgression heavy upon it. Now watch, stop for a second. I want to leave this, I know you guys are watching visually, but I want to leave this up on the screen because I want you to listen to me for a second, and I want you to keep this up there so you can look at this and listen to me at the same time. I believe this scripture and And what Isaiah is describing here, I believe it's what is called a dual prophetic meaning. In other words, I believe that this was partially fulfilled in the days of Noah upon what happened in Noah's day, but I also believe it is referencing in the future what will take place in the next judgment or the tribulation period. Let me say that again, because I want to make this clear. I believe this passage could have a dual prophetic meaning. I believe that it was partially fulfilled when we read about the event that took place in Noah's day. What did the Bible say in the book of Genesis? It said that the fountains of the deep were broken up. The earth was broken up. Water came from the fountains of the deep, and it came from above. The entire earth was broken apart. Come on, I don't have time to get into this whole hypothesis on the entire world was just one piece of land, but then it was broken apart. Come on, we learned this in school, where you could take all the different continents and stuff, and you put them together like pieces of the puzzle, because they were split apart. The waters submerged and covered the entire earth, the great deluge, the great flood. So this was a catastrophic event, which again would be described as the earth being violently broken, splitting open, shaking exceedingly, and reeling to and fro like a drunkard. So I don't want to take anything away from that description as Isaiah describing the days of Noah or that event. But now remember, if you go, and I didn't pull this up on the screen because I just thought of it. Zechariah 12, what does Zechariah say? Zechariah the prophet warns that there would come a time when the nations of the world would turn against Israel, and Jerusalem would become a cup of drunkenness. Now, guys, I may have to just pull this up here. And I know this is kind of the spur of the moment, and I didn't plan on going here, but I'm going to have to just pull this scripture up here. Let me pull this away so you can look at me for just a second. I'm going to pull this Zechariah chapter 12 up. I did not have this in my notes, but I want to read this. This is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I'll make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. Now listen to this. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it in that day, says the Lord. He talks about, again, all who would try to heave it away will be broken in pieces. Now, I want to go to the book of Joel, because Joel consequently warned of the same thing. He says in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations, and I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Indeed, what have you done with me? And he talks about this. So again, Joel talks about the nations of the world will enter into judgment because of their division of Israel. So guys, all this is leading up. And when you get into the book of Revelation, it absolutely describes the earth being shaken up, split apart, broken up, and reeling like a drunkard with these great earthquakes. Revelation 11 talks about a great earthquake that happens in the city of Jerusalem and kills thousands of people when the two witnesses are slain by the Antichrist. You can read in Ezekiel 38, 39, in this future war of Gog and Magog, right in the middle of that war, there's an earthquake that takes place that's so great that it causes volcanic eruptions, that the Bible, the Lord describes this earthquake to be so great that the entire earth will tremble. So again, I believe this has a dual meaning. Now let's get to the heavy part of this. So if we go back again, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. So we go back and we find the book of Jasher. Again, I showed you it's mentioned in the Bible. The one of the books of Enoch, again, mentioned in the Bible in the New Testament by Jude, quoted Enoch, who prophesied. Look what it says in these passages. Ready? Quote, this is Jasher 6:1. And on that day, the flood, the Lord caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world rages. And the whole earth was moved violently. Wow, doesn't that sound like Isaiah's prophecy? It does. And the lightning flashed, and the thunder roared, and all the fountains and the earth were broken up. Now again, you guys see that? Look at the description that Jasher, the author here, and again, historical writing describes what took place in detail in the days of Noah. Again, it mirrors exactly what Isaiah said. But then look what Enoch 64:11 says. And in those days, Noah saw, now this is real heavy. Listen to this. In those days, Noah saw that the earth became inclined. Hello. And that destruction approached. What? I got to say it again. Noah saw that the earth became inclined.
Then in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. These two events, the fountains of the great deep breaking up and the windows of heaven opening, began the first day of a 371-day-long calamity that resurfaced the earth and killed everything that moved on land. Hot magma mixed with steam pierced the earth's crust. Giant rifts or tears ran thousands of miles across the planet. Scalding hot magma vaporized massive amounts of water that jetted into the atmosphere. The water fell back to Earth as intense global rain, along with torrential rain from heaven for 40 days. Worldwide catastrophic rifting caused massive mud-filled tsunamis to speed across deep ocean floors, then onto shallow ocean floors, killing everything in their path. The first mega sequence wipes out mostly shallow marine habitats. The bursting fountains of the great deep spew out megatons of magma and carbon dioxide. Sure enough, the first mega sequence rocks show a spike in volcanic activity and massive amounts of carbon dioxide. During these first 40 days, intense water currents overtopped most of the flooded continents. Water-laden sediment travels at highway speeds. Thick sediment blankets start covering low regions of the continent. Fossils show that the first three megasequences buried the shallow seas that were filled with marine life, as these deposits have almost no trees or land animals. All three megasequences covered similar environments across North and South America and Africa, the three continents mapped so far. One global cause, Noah's flood, best explains this one worldwide effect. Then by the 40th day of the flood, the Absorica megasequence began hitting. The maps show that this is when things got much worse. Something shoves the water over the tops of even the high lands from that ancient world. The newly forming ocean floor offshore is so hot that it starts very thick, pushing up the ocean waters from beneath. Sea level rises dramatically. Molten magma rises and fills the widening gaps, pushing the mid-ocean ridges wider. The hot ocean floor shoves against the continents, then slides beneath them like giant conveyor belts, deep beneath the earth in some places. Rather than the conventional model that has the seafloor spreading slowly, this runaway subduction actually happened quickly, moving at about 5 miles per hour due to the heat caused by the friction and pressure of the rapidly subducting plates. As the diving ocean plates subduct under the land, they push down the continental edges and then release them, creating tsunami cycles that blanket the continents. Just how tsunamis happen today, only more intense and frequent. For example, the most powerful earthquake ever recorded in Japan, and the fourth largest in history, was a magnitude 9.1 earthquake that occurred in 2011. This earthquake was caused by an undersea megathrust about 45 miles east of the Japanese coast. At the center, there was a 160-foot slip between the overriding plate that was part of Japan and the underlying Pacific plate. The sea bottom rose about 23 feet when the fault unlocked, and the resulting earthquake triggered a devastating tsunami that was 133 feet above sea level and traveled inland for 6 miles. The tsunamis occurring during the flood, however, were different, much different. With the ocean ridge bursting open rapidly and pushing the ocean floor under land continents on a worldwide scale, tsunamis were happening in cycles, several every hour, and with long stretches of subduction zones active at the same time. The incoming phase of a tsunami has a much higher speed and is highly turbulent, which keeps the sediment in suspension, but it leaves behind layers of sediment as it slows down in the retreating phase. This cycle repeats several times every hour during the 150-day inundation stage of the flood, first entombing the shallow marine life, followed by land creatures in different habitats and elevations, leaving behind what we see today in the fossil record.
There has been astronomers that have dated, I want to say, I don't have it in front of me, but we did a podcast on this. One of the comets, it was either Halley's Comet or Hale-Bopp. I want to say it was Hale-Bopp. They traced its origin, the first time it was seen in our solar system. They did some research and traced it all the way back. And on the time frame of when it was visible in the sky was the exact time frame that Noah was building the ark. So guys, again, could it be, I'm going to leave you with this. Could it be possible that as it was, what's Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? That which was is that which shall be. Is there anything new under the sun that we can say it is new that has not been in times past? So in other words, if you want to know how it's going to end, you look at how it began. So all these events, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. We've always emphasized as preachers of the gospel, as watchmen, we've always emphasized the moral conditions of the earth, the societal conditions of the earth in the days of Noah and Lot. I mean, and we do, we should do that. And again, you go to read the book of, not only Noah and, but Lot, you read the book of Ezekiel and it tells you the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're seeing those things repeated. So we don't ignore them, but I wanted to take you a little bit deeper today and not focus on that aspect. But what about the disaster aspect? What if for those who have discernment and understand the times and seasons in which we're in, what if this thing is going to end the way it began? And just like Noah saw prior to the destruction, prior to the judgment, the wrath of God, he saw and witnessed the earth beginning to shift and tilt on its axis and saw strange, bizarre, and great and fearful sights from heaven before the judgment came. Now, stop for a second. If we're going to repeat that, isn't that what Jesus said? He said, on the earth, there will be distress of nations with perplexity, and the waves and the seas roaring. There'll be great earthquakes. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, great and fearful sights from heaven, men's hearts failing them for fear of the expectation of the things which are coming upon the earth. Wow. So again, this is food for thought, guys. We're going to pray before we sign off for today, but we want to give you some information on how you can keep up with that. Listen, if you love information like this, revelation like this, equipping messages, anything like this, Please don't forget to subscribe to our main website. Do not rely on social media outlets, because again, those, it's only going to be a matter of time until you start seeing ministries like ours disappearing, and they're happening. It's happening already. So we want you to subscribe, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Go to our main website, find us there. You're going to find our main website. Please subscribe to us. Don't forget to download the app. As soon as you get off here today, go to your app store, go to your Play store, depending on your if you're Google or if you're Apple or iOS or Android, if you want to be technical. Go to End Time Headlines or go to your Play store, type in End Time Headlines, download the free app, push yes to push notifications. You're going to be notified of all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to be notified. You're going to be equipped. All that's going to be there. You're going to be able to listen and watch all of our podcasts right there at the convenience with our app. And again, as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing, information, revelation, equipping on a weekly basis, year after year, we've been doing this thing since 2010. So we're going on our 12-year anniversary. And we're by the grace of God and the will of God, we're going to continue to keep going as long as the Lord permits us to do that. And if you'd like to support this ministry and partner with this ministry, if you believe in what we do, guys, again, everything is free. The podcast is free. The app is free. The website subscription is free. You don't pay for anything. All the messages are free. All we ask is that you would give accordingly to what the Lord puts upon your heart. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order by making it out to you right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we appreciate you coming on here. Listen, tomorrow, we're going to come back on here tomorrow, and we are not, tomorrow's broadcast will not be it's not going to be uploaded on our podcast. It's not going to be uploaded. This is exclusively on our Facebook page only. And it's all we're going to do. We're going to take probably 30 minutes or so tomorrow. And we're going to pray as a body of believers. We're going to pray for the new year. Again, many of you guys are going to be praying and fasting and believing for whatever you're believing for your household and for your family and for your marriage and for your children and for your health and whatever it is. I want to come into agreement with you tomorrow. And so if you know people that are not on Facebook, please try to get them on or at least share this with them. And we're going to come into agreement with them. And we're going to come into agreement with you. And we're going to spend about 30 minutes and we're just going to pray. We're going to have a prayer segment. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make some declarations over you. I'm going to decree some things over you. And we're going to agree with you for your breakthrough and your blessing and what you're believing God for in the year 2022. Come on. I believe we need that. And we need to do this more often. But we also know that we want to equip and inform people as well. So it's a lot to squeeze in 1 week, but we're going to do that. And then we'll probably take off on Wednesday and we'll be back on Thursday and Friday because we've got a lot of stuff lined up. We may even squeeze in a Wednesday too, because I do have some segments that we want to talk about. And we've got one message lined up that I want to talk about at least for this week's podcast lineup. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.